Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. Much nicer day in Pittsburgh than it is either Baltimore or New York football Jets land. The Steelers beat the Cincinnati Bengals, the number one seed in the AFC, Cincinnati Bengals, at least for one NFL weekend, 7-3. Same record as last year, on a well-deserved bye. We've already established that, and no one deserves it more than you and I.
No one.
And
that is an accurate statement.
And I don't know, man. I don't want to fall into this trap of hating the team when they lose and thinking they're invincible when they win. But yesterday, I thought it was more than just, you know, beating a slappy opponent. The Bengals are not bad.
No, good football team. That's the that's what makes yesterday kind of special, because the Steelers did get pushed. They got challenged. They jumped to a lead. The other team came scratching and clawing back. Had a little help, but only a little bit. Made some plays, threatened, and all of a sudden you look up and once it was 14-0, and now it's halfway through the third quarter and it's 17-17. And thinking, this season may go a number of ways from here. Not all of them were good. And the Steelers responded the way you hope to see a team respond. They go down and stick the ball in the end zone. And then in the fourth quarter, they get a couple turnovers generated by their defense and eventually are able to take a knee and walk out of there with a W.
And, and the only thing you left out was after the defense took the ball away, the offense killed the clock, made the Bengals use all their timeouts, got the first downs, you know, and it was, I actually did some more, maybe a little bit deeper analysis into the respective fourth quarters against the Ravens and the Bengals. And I don't even know if you know this, but the David Johnson pass that he dropped
in
Cincinnati, I was going to say, really looked similar, almost used it. Well, they used it on first down against the Ravens. It was on second down against the Bengals. Very similar situation.
Saunders.
Yeah, last 3 minutes or so, 2 minutes and change. Saunders, however, caught the ball, made a guy miss, and got the first down. And, funny how it's not a bad play call then. But
you know where those plays are supposed to go?
No.
Deep to Mike Wallace. The tight end is the check down in case you get blitz or the secondary is not caught napping. The theory is if everybody comes up and they're defending the first down line to the death, they're going to go over top of them to Wallace and score and really finish it right then and there. In neither instance did that happen. They went to the tight end both times. One was a drop. Not only did Saunders make that catch, but a nifty move or so.
Oh, absolutely.
To go ahead and finish it off.
Yeah, and get the first down, yeah.
Second catch of the year. And Ben Roethlisberger threw it to him without hesitation.
To me it was an easy pass to catch for both of the guys. I mean, Saunders did what he was supposed to do. And
I'm not sure that
– good for him.
That exists as it relates to David Johnson. But
well, good point there.
Sometimes a real good tight end doesn't catch an easy pass.
How about that?
As we discovered with Mr. Heath Miller.
Wow. I mean, I can't remember being as shocked since Halloween in New Orleans last year when Heath Miller was running free through the Saints secondary with the football in his hand in a, 14-10 game at that point. The Saints were very much looking like they were going to lose 17-14 or by more. The ball just popped out of Heath Miller's hands. Key turnover.
Yeah, he had a similar play in Kansas City during the 5-game losing streak against some of the worst teams in the league.
Right.
He was caught over the middle and he got hit and it got knocked out of his hand and it popped up in the air, or he dropped it up in the air similar to yesterday and it got picked off. But Heath Miller has ball security problems about once a season.
Yeah, well, then that's good.
Got it out of the way.
Yeah, it's over. And this time it was in a win. I got no problem with, going deep to Mike Wallace as long as you don't overthrow him when he's wide open.
Apparently there was some gusting wind issues.
Well,
so I'm told.
Yeah, and I don't. And we all knew that. I mean, you could see the goalposts moving, and you know, all of that stuff. And so then, you know, what my answer is:
don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah. Just throw it to Wesley Saunders.
Kind of like when you put your hand on a hot burner as a little kid that gets burnt, then you pull it back real fast.
Right.
Tend not to do that anymore.
You shouldn't.
Some of these things I seem to see repeatedly that the hand should be burned by now, but apparently it's impervious to.
Yeah,
to that, such pain because I would equate, you know, putting your hand on that hot burner to dropping back in an empty set and then patting the ball,
or pumping it, trying to move defensive backs. It's
1, 2, 3, throw it. But other than a couple hiccups there, what a game for the quarterback.
And that's that's the way. And it's been like that, you know, just a couple of hiccups here and there. A lot of times they're different kinds of hiccups.
He's getting better, too. When he takes these sacks, he's kind of sensing it a little better. And at least running forward, it's only a 2 or 3 yard loss instead of 8
And he's
or
also protecting the ball. The ball is not coming out.
Good point.
Which to me is more important than trying, milk a couple of yards out of it. But 3 for 4 in the red zone. 2 rushing touchdowns. The rushing touchdowns to me are huge. I really think that once that kind of gets around the league, if you can continue to show that, make teams respect the run, then that opens up some other things for you to do down there to get the touchdowns that you got to have. I mean, you know, once again, probably 1 for 4 in the red zone like it was against Baltimore, and you lose again. And you're saying, well, you know, we played well, and we did this, and we did that, and, you know, a couple of plays here, and you're 0-3 in the division.
Yeah, that I agree with you on the rushing touchdown thing. They're hard to get.
Yes.
And to get a couple in the way they got them, it's just going to take pressure off the passing game.
Yes.
I didn't think they ever abandoned the run yesterday. It was tough sledding, but they kind of did what they had to do to get some production out of it, even running out of throwing formations and trying to – you know, throw them curveballs every once in a while.
I'd like to see that more often. That seems to work, you know, against the Steelers' defense. I would like to see the Steelers' offense try and do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they caught the Bengals in bad personnel groupings or if they just executed it because of the pass look. But find a way to not abandon it entirely. Just keep it as part of the whole package, and it should work out like it did yesterday.
You know, the Bengals did they had a lot of issues in the secondary. They came into the game with no Pac-Man Jones, so they really had
– he's not exactly Herb Adderley.
I understand, but I'm just talking about numbers. They only had 3 corners after you take him out. So then you lose Leon Hall to the Achilles.
He's not Herb Adderley either.
No, but again, there's only 2 now. The Bengals had some secondary issues. And
Leon's a good player. He's just not Herb Adderley because he went to the wrong school.
Well, I mean, he's not Herb Adderley because he's not that good either, regardless of where he went to school.
Like 70 years old.
Okay. We done with Herb?
Yeah,
and
we're
Leon.
Done.
Okay.
We're done.
Good. I don't know. The Bengals impressed me.
Me too. To the point, I think they're in this thing. Which is kind of screwy to say after they just got
beat. I think they're better than the Jets.
I think they're in a division race.
They could beat Baltimore.
People might be looking, oh, Baltimore lost.
Yeah.
Hey, still got to play Cincinnati again. They still have 2 games.
Right.
With the Ravens, there's a lot that's going to happen here.
Yeah, a lot of incestuous AFC North stuff still has to happen.
I thought they had I think they have a nice team. Not a great team, but good components. I think they play a hard physical game. You saw Marvin Lewis, he was still running Cedric Benson with 6 minutes left, down a touchdown. They didn't panic when it was 14-0. They don't seem to rattle like Bengals teams of the past would. They don't kill themselves. It was a bad turnover by Andy Dalton at the end of the game. But, hey, it's a rookie quarterback he'll learn from, but probably a little bit better the next time because of it.
Yeah, and Jay Gruden, I think, really is doing a nice job. You know, Andy Dalton didn't face a lot of third and longs, and a lot of that, as you mentioned, you know, they kind of kept him on schedule with the running plays, a lot of the quick passing. you know, the Bengals play physical, both lines of scrimmage. As you mentioned, you know, maybe against some teams in empty sets you can pat the ball or maybe move safeties with pump fakes, but not against the Bengals. Those guys, and they were without Carlos Dunlap too. Five sacks they had. Yeah, stout against the run. They're physical, little nasty. Yeah, it's a nice team. And, you know, when you look at what's going on around the league, I mean, why not Cincinnati? You know what I mean? Why not? I don't see, you know, we've since the season started, we kind of speculated and tried to figure out what we were going to see in terms of lockout football. This is just too weird to me. I mean, the ups and downs week to week. I don't know. I just don't. I don't remember it happening this often, this consistently. I mean, you would see a team like the Ravens did pound the Steelers in the opener, goalpost game. Next game, you go and lose. Okay, then they do it again.
Yeah, I think that's more on them than the lockout.
Well, but I mean, I think the lockout has contributed to them being like this. I don't know.
I think the raging egomania has contributed to them being like this. I think their lack of institutional control, to use an NCAA. If you are John Harbaugh, how do you let that happen again?
I mean, how do we know he wasn't part of it?
Well, he was definitely right after the game.
That's what I mean.
You know, the acceptance speech after the trophy was awarded at Heinz Field.
The inaugural address he gave, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a lot to celebrate, Bob. The Ravens became the first team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl twice in one season. So that was a big – but seriously, if you're the coach of that team, I start busting chops when the plane lands back in Baltimore. Hey, we did this once. We're not doing it again. I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm maybe breaking shoulder pads out if I still have that in my pocket. I'm making sure that there's no doubts about what has to happen in the next game, and instead they go out there and just lollydaw around against Seattle.
And how about the end of it? The Seahawks ran off just about the last 6 minutes of the game with their offense.
Here comes Marshawn Lynch. Lynch. Stop him. Oh, no. You don't want to stop him? Okay.
Well, here he comes again. Yeah.
I wonder what Ray Lewis had to say about that.
So, what do you think of where this team is? Steelers, I mean, at the bye. You know, the bye is one of those natural kind of mileposts.
Yeah. I separate the opener. I know it counted, but I think that was an aberration. For whatever reason, and we've discussed 15 of them. The other loss in Houston, it's a very good football team. I know there was, you know, panic in the streets because the Steelers gave up 170 rushing yards, but it was a 7-point game.
Yes.
Lost on the road by 7 to a very good football team. And then the second Baltimore lost in the last minute, where many a Steelers-Ravens game is decided, either on the last minute or the last drive. One way or the other. Most of the time it's been the Steelers' favor. This time it was in Baltimore's favor. But other than September 11th, about what I expected. Don't think they're dominant, but they're not bad.
You know, one of the things I'm kind of happy with is I kind of like the identity that is forming. You know, I like that, you know, on offense, they're trying to do what they need to do in the ways that they are best able to do it. In other words, you know, the running game isn't what it was when Bill Cowher was here and Jerome Bettis was here, and you got a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter, and then you just anaconda'd the opponent, and that was the end of it. You can't do that anymore. You don't have, you know, Jeff Hardings and a lot of those people up front, Fanica. You're not a dominant physically offensive line, and you got a really good quarterback. And the way the rules are, you got five pass receivers, four of them being wide receivers, that you can deploy where, you know, there isn't a guy that I would, oh, God, don't throw it to him, you know, that kind of thing. And the quarterback is – he's not – He hasn't learned it as quickly as I would have liked, Because as you mentioned, you know, still pats the ball a little bit in empty, you know, those kind of things. But we have seen more quick game this year than I think in his entire career before this combined.
I would agree with that, and I also think he's playing his best football. But kind of what I think is encouraging for the Steelers is that they don't think that this is top end.
Right.
And they're 7-3. And they've been through what comes next, the hard, you know, the,
yeah.
I hate to use a baseball analogy on you, but the pennant race, you know, the pressure of that. And then some of these other teams, Cincinnati has not. Baltimore clearly doesn't know how to handle regular season success. Who knows what's going to happen in December. Steelers kind of know where they want to go and also how to get there. And I think it's building. I get a sense that starting to generate a little momentum. But, you know, defensively, you'd like to see the turnovers continue to be created as they were yesterday. Offensively, maybe next time Ben Roethlisberger and Jericho Cotchery are on the same page and they score a touchdown when he's wide open over the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Wallace isn't overthrown when he's got Reggie Nelson beat by 5 yards. Maybe Heath Miller's not committing offensive interference when it's there's still some plays to be made. And they'll tell you, and I agree with them, they say they can't be stopped. They stop themselves. That's when they have problems. And that's what's on tape so far, really.
And I'm going to go back to what one of the things that I have said off and on throughout this whole thing. I believe that when you look at all of those teams that have that ability to put an offense on the field that maybe can't be stopped, the Steelers have the best defense of all those teams. And so I think that, you know, if you get one of those teams in a game, then I think the fact that your defense is better than their defense could be the difference.
Could be the difference. Houston doesn't have a bad defense either.
But they don't have that offense, though.
Well, they can anaconda you now.
Well, you know.
they got a couple running backs in an offensive line.
I understand that. But, you know, if you do what you did to the Bengals – first two down the field, stick it in the end zone. The anaconda, you know, he can't really get a good grip.
I didn't say it was all, you know.
No, I know.
Suited to every situation, but something about that team struck me early. I think it was when I was prepping for the Steeler game. I thought, wow, looks like these guys really have turned a corner. I don't think they're in the conversation yet. You know, people, New England and the Jets. All right, New England's up again this week, and now the Jets are down. Steelers
Nobody's
lose to the
about
Ravens.
Houston, right?
They stink. Now, they're back up. We're going to go all the way. Baltimore. I hear nobody mentioning the Houston Texans.
No. And it's going to be curious to me.
They're pretty physical, too. You saw that.
I want to see, though, how they react in January. Once they get in.
Haven't been there before.
Right. That's one of those things. I mean, you know, I keep thinking of the 92 Steelers. Pretty good club.
Yep.
Won some games. A lot of good players.
Decent analogy, that.
Got there. Buffalo, I mean.
Pounded.
And then Buffalo came and took their lunch money in the divisional round, and that was the end of it. Frank Reich. Oof.
Was it close? What was that, 24-3?
Yeah. It was something like the Steelers – we're inside the Buffalo 40 seven times.
I believe that was the number because the famous quote, if I'm remembering it right, was, you get me inside the 47 times, I guarantee we'll get more than 3 points.
Walter Andrew Bristol.
I believe that was him.
And I have no doubt that would have been true.
That was about the end of the Bubby and Neil coexisting.
Yeah, peacefully. Yeah, well.
It was a little more colorful than that, but...
Hey, Tunch Ilkin will tell you to this day that Bill Cowher started the wrong quarterback in the playoffs.
The result suggests as much.
Yes. Okay, well, that was 100 years ago, and I'm tired of reminiscing.
It was old, but not quite as old as Herb Adderley.
Yes, that is true. For Mike Pursuit, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening.
You know, he's the first guy in the Hall of Fame.
Enjoy your bye week, everyone.
AD.
We will do the same.
It's an alphabetical
order. Talk to you next Monday. See ya.